Now, what we're doing today is the final class. This is the final class of mine. The Lord had me do one of my classes for the church over these last 7 weeks. This is class number 7, and catchy title, number 7, the finale, on the kingdom of God, heresies, and doctrines of demons. Okay? That's the title of the class. And again, this is the last class. So for those of you that are new and don't really know how this works, this is not like a typical. When we do a class, it's interactive. It's you know, we want your feedback. We want your help. I don't want any dissertations. I don't want any long commentaries. But if you got a question, it's okay. All right? If you got comments, I'm okay with that. I can handle it. Now, the whole point of this class, my class, we don't always teach like this from the pulpit on a Sunday, but my class is to equip you in the understanding of what are heresies, what are doctrines of demons, and if you don't know how to identify the doctrines of the kingdom of God, you're in big trouble. If you call yourself a believer in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you're expecting big things, and you're living in this world today, which we've already gone through, and all the nonsense, and all the antichrist spirit, and all the corruption, and all the depravity, and all of the destruction of this country and really the world now in this time. We're in the last days, folks. Jesus is coming. Amen. Soon. Amen. Now, you are primed for deception if you don't know how to identify doctrines of the kingdom, heresies, or doctrines of demons. Right?
Amen.
Okay. So the point of this class is to get you equipped. I have one more thing I want to say. In addendum, I was speaking with Lonnie yesterday, and in addendum to knowing the doctrines of the kingdom. I'm talking the base stuff here, right? Knowing the doctrines of the kingdom of God and why you believe what you believe. Because most believers can't answer that. They can't say what they believe and they can't say why they believe what they believe. That is not you. That was a good spot for an amen.
Amen.
Thank you. It is imperative that not only do we know our doctrine or the doctrines of the kingdom and what we stand on, this is eternal stuff, but some of the basics are leading somebody to Jesus Christ. That's bare bones stuff. How do you lead somebody to Jesus Christ? Now, we've taught all our prayer team to do that. How to get somebody baptized in the Holy Spirit. How to get somebody healed. How to minister to them. But you know, we've kind of put the prayer team at rest for a while. I want to handle things a little differently. Because my heart is to turn this church into ministers for those that come in and who can minister discipleship.
Yes.
Talking about growing somebody else up. Not just ourselves. I'm talking about leading them in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues and operating in the gifts and knowing what you're doing. And even if you don't, making steps. I'm talking about how to lead somebody to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, at this particular time, I've said this before, we, House on the Rock Church, are supposed to be a part of this local revival.
Yes.
We are. We are here. If we don't move, it ain't going to happen.
Amen.
And that's what I'm trying to prime the pump here. I can't do this by myself. I also want to invite you to, Lonnie has a prayer time. We're going to talk about changing days or something and making this more available. But the prayer time that they have is, they're seeking for revival here.
Amen.
Right here. If we're not equipped for this, it's going to be a blow up, blow out. We're equipped for the long haul. That's my heart. That's this church.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay?
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, so Lonnie, we're going to talk about that. And I want to, Sunday mornings right now, he does it from 8:15 to 9:15. Okay? And you can talk to him about where it is. All right. That's my exhortation for this morning. Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, we give this time to you, and I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the power in your word. I thank you, Jesus, that you are the word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your mighty move, for signs and wonders and miracles in our lives in this church, Lord, for revival and power being released in here and lives changed like never before. Lord, I want to thank you for blowing us away, because that's what's coming. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Well, as I've given you my introduction for the last class, here I have a little story. Rosie gave me this, Pastor Rosie gave me this story. I want to share this with you. We've gone through, just a quick refresher, we've gone through the secular arenas, movements, organizations, progressivism, that a lot of the heresies and doctrines of demons come from. Yes. Come right out of the secular world into the church. They filter right in. They come in. And how do they come in? They come in through people. Right? Yes. Into the church. We've covered everything from, in the secular organizations, from Black Lives Matter to Ku Klux Klan. Pro-abortion, pro-life. Democrats, Republicans. Amen? Amen? All have doctrines. All have things they teach, they espouse, they have prophets. All of them. Are they right or are they wrong? How do you line it up with the truth? What does it say in the Word? Is it true according to the absolute truth? Whatever the doctrine is of that secular organization, movement, or progressivism, is it true according to the word? If it is not true, it is a heresy or a doctrine of demons. Amen. Period. Amen. Okay? Are we getting this?
Yes. Yes.
Then we went on to religions, different religions, and the cults, and what the cults are. Recognizing them, understanding a little bit about, this is not in depth in every one of these, it's a lot of years of study on my part, what they all are, and what they mean, and what they look like, and how do you talk to somebody like that? How did they get there? Heresies and doctrines of demons. What's a heresy? Who's got it? Come on. How long have you been sitting in here? None of you are bashful. Diana. Heresy is a man-made doctrine. It really comes through the flesh. It's twisting of the word according to what we want. I mean, that's basically what it is, without going into everything. What's a doctrine of demons?
Someone that's coming probably to the church just to let their opinions out.
Nope. What's a doctrine of demons? Jill.
Teaching is inspired by Satan, by which he secures his own interest to divide and destroy.
Perfect. Wow, I couldn't say it better myself. Did I say that? they are teachings. They are error. Both of them are error. Can you say this? Error.
Error.
They are error that comes into the church or comes by somebody. It is inspired by the demonic. It is absolutely inspired by a demon. And this inspiration comes to the person, because the devil works through people just like God does. And that inspiration comes in and it becomes a doctrine. It gets adopted. It becomes a doctrine. And it's a doctrine of demons. Both are error. Both cause destruction. Okay? Then we went on to Christianity. And all of the sects, this is last week, all of the sects, S-E-C-T-S, that come into this, under this umbrella of Christianity, what we know as Christianity. We covered Catholicism. We covered Seventh-day Adventists. We covered Calvinism. Okay, I told you about on the west side of the state where we lived at one time, and all the Reformed churches that are over there, Reformed and Presbyterian, Calvinistic, all right? There's a lot of them here too. What is Calvinism? How does that work? What about Catholicism? If anybody, here's the bottom line, if anybody names the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, are you hearing me? If anybody names the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they are my brother and sister. That's across the board. All right? We may not agree on doctrines. They may have things that we consider extra-biblical, or unbiblical. They may have that. What is our job? Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So what? That's between them and the Lord. Right? Okay, now, we got all that said. We've covered some Christian sects. I'm going to read that story. This is going to be a little good little illustration. A Presbyterian church called a meeting to decide what to do about their squirrel infestation. After much prayer and consideration, they concluded that the squirrels were predestined to be there and that they should not interfere with God's divine will. At the Baptist church, the squirrels had taken an interest in the baptistry. The deacons met and decided to put a water slide in the baptistry and let the squirrels drown themselves. And the squirrels liked the slide so much, and fortunately knew how instinctively how to swim. So twice as many squirrels showed up the following week. The Lutheran church decided that they were not in a position to harm any of God's creatures. So they humanely trapped the squirrels and set them free near the Baptist church. 2 weeks later, the squirrels were back when the Baptists took down the water slide. The Episcopalians tried a much more unique path by setting out pans of whiskey around their church in an effort to kill the squirrels with alcohol poisoning. They sadly learned how much damage a band of drunk squirrels can do. But the Catholic Church came up with a more creative strategy. They baptized all the squirrels and made them members of the church. Now they only see them at Christmas and Easter. Not much was heard from the Jewish synagogue. They took the first squirrel and circumcised him, and they haven't seen a squirrel since. Wasn't that cute? It's a little illustration, okay? There's differences between us under this umbrella of Christianity, but the bottom line, if somebody is born again, if Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, if they've confessed that they've been a sinner, in whatever way, okay, there's no formula in this. It's Romans 10, 9, and 10. If somebody confesses Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and receives what he had done, then you know what? They are forgiven, and they are kingdom bound, and eternal life is theirs. And who are we to judge their hearts and their lives and their circumstances? We, again, may not agree with their doctrine and some of the ways they do things, but it's not ours to fix, right? Okay, here's a reminder for us. 2 Corinthians, I'm going to read these real fast. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Are you in the faith? I'm going to synopsize these scriptures. Are you in the faith? Are you in the faith? Are you in the faith? What's your backyard look like? Right? Test yourselves. James 1:21. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. We're supposed to receive the word and be able to identify heresies and doctrines of demons, because there's a pile of it and there's more coming with the world that we're in. This last days, there's proliferation of doctrines of all kinds. Are you going to be deceived or not? Get the word in you. Matthew 7, verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. That means the person and their heart. Only God can judge them. That's it. You are not responsible to condemn or to fix them. Make sense? Okay. But we are responsible to pray and dialogue if they're open. Philippians 2:13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Ephesians 4, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. speaks about divisions and divisive people. Avoid them. Back away from them. Now, the division that's been going on in our country, let's take the division in the churches among the umbrella of Christianity. Let's take the division in our country, division among people, division among races, division among... Man, this stuff is right out of the pit of hell. It is evil. It is evil. And if you're a part of it, you're playing a part with the demonic. If you believe that this divisiveness is right and justified, then you're believing that a part of the demonic propagation is right. It means you need some correction. And hopefully you're open to it. But the divisiveness is never, ever God. Ever. All right, we left off last week with Calvinism. Tell me the main couple points of Calvinism. Just a couple. Anybody got them? What do you got? Did you do your homework? Say it again. Speak it up.
Predestination.
Predestined. That's a main point. You're predestined for heaven. God, this is how it goes. God in his sovereignty, all powerful, all knowing, has determined whether you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. He has chosen you or elected you. That is Calvinism at its basis. But Calvinists and Calvinism, they do believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Anybody that's a Calvinist and receiving Jesus Christ and his atonement for our sins, eternal life, they believe that. They've accepted that. That is a part of their doctrine. Are they our brothers and sisters?
Yes.
Yes, they are. All right. Now let's go into Arminianism. Anybody ever heard of it? Arminianism, let's just leave it at that, is basically where we all are. And bottom line is it means we believe that God has given us freedom of choice. Choose him, disregard him. Choose eternal life, choose eternal death. It's our choice. It's based on what we choose. I'm going to read it to you, the definition, so you get this clear. It came from Joseph Arminius in the early 1600s, who was an ex-Calvinist and theology professor. And this is the basis of it. Man has sinned from the beginning, but God gives every sinner free will to choose their eternal destiny. God's election is by his foreknowledge of people's response by their choice to his call. He knows what you're going to choose ahead of time. Jesus provided for all to have eternal life, but only those who believe on him are saved and forgiven. The Holy Spirit calls all people by the gospel, but people can resist him by their own choice. Those who believe and are saved can lose their salvation by failing to keep their faith, or they also believe are eternally secure and cannot lose it. There's a focus, a focus on sin consciousness and prayer for God to please give me your promises. Now, we differ in some areas, right? But the bottom line where we agree is we have a choice. We have free will. God doesn't choose us for heaven or hell. He said here, Jesus has died for everybody. The gifts are for everybody. Eternal life is for everybody, those who choose. That's it. That's the bottom line. That is Arminianism. And again, there's some differences in what we believe, but basically, and I'm saying very basically, all of us are Arminian that are here. At least I think we are. That's all I'm going to do on it, Matt. For right now, I've got too many more to go. And let me give you some examples of some Arminian-type churches. Baptist, Amish, Mennonite, Nazarene, Seventh-day Adventist, Church of Christ, Pentecostal, Methodist, Assembly of God, Salvation Army, community churches, non-denominational churches, there's a pile of them. Remember, there are 1,200 denominations, more than 1,200 denominations in this country alone. 30,000 in the world. All right, the next one under this umbrella of Christianity is holiness. Y'all heard of holiness churches?
Yes.
Probably seen some people that are holiness believers. Founded in around 1840 by Methodist leader Phoebe Palmer. And they go, I mean, their doctrine is faith in Jesus Christ and his atonement for our sins, for salvation and regeneration. People can achieve sinless perfection while on earth. Obedience to the Mosaic law gains closeness to God and greater spirituality. They set themselves apart from worldly values and influence. You know, part of that is long dresses, long sleeves for men, no shorts, no swimming, long hair for women, hair in a bun, no jewelry, no makeup for men, short haircuts, don't go to movies. I think I said that. You know, that kind of thing. It's by your actions and set apart. This is a part of what they believe. Set apart from the world totally as much as possible. And that increases their relationship with God, their spirituality, it draws them closer. It's really working from the outside in. Okay, to help understand this. They believe in water baptism, by immersion, the Lord's Supper, keeping the Sabbath holy, eternal life for believers in heaven, and judgment in hell for those who don't accept Jesus. There is a connection with Pentecostalism in belief in what they call the second blessing. We call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the second blessing, and this is how they explain it, is a work of grace which seals the believer in a sinless state. How's this fit with your doctrine right now? Trying to figure it out? Did it help clear up some things, or did it mystify? It takes a little time to kind of cut through this, doesn't it? That's all right. I'm going to let it set. The idea is that they don't believe that you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, okay? Ephesians 1:17, I think it's 1:17. That your Holy Spirit seals you when you get born again. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's when you get sealed by the Holy Spirit for eternity, okay? But they still believe in the atonement of Jesus Christ for our sins, his resurrection from the dead. Are they our brothers and sisters? Bottom line. Examples of some holiness churches, a Church of God, the Christian Missionary Alliance, and there's a few others. Now let's go on to Oneness Pentecostal. You ever heard of them? Anybody? I did some participation in some Oneness Pentecostal services at one time, kind of checking them out. Very different. They were formed in 1945. They believe in the Bible as the Word of God, inspired and inerrant, with the exception God is not a Trinity. They believe that God is one only who reveals himself differently through the Father and Jesus. They don't believe the Holy Spirit is a person. They believe the Holy Spirit is the power of God. Salvation is, hear this, through faith in Jesus Christ and his atoning sacrifice on the cross, his burial and resurrection from the dead. Also required for proof of salvation, now this is in tandem, is repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name only, and baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. That's required in tandem with believing in the atonement. Adherence to holiness standards of dress and separation from the world's values and influences are also highly encouraged. So there's a holiness way that is, they're dressed and try to keep themselves. Okay? Some of the examples are the United Pentecostal Church and a number of apostolic, if you haven't heard of apostolic churches. All right? Now, any questions? Quick. You make it quick, Matt.
What do you mean by dress? How do they dress if you don't?
Holiness dress is long, like a picture of it is, women wear long skirts, not the men. That was a joke. That was for today. Women wear long skirts, no makeup, no jewelry, wear their hair in a bun, they grow it long. Men have short haircuts, wear long sleeves. Don't go to movies. Don't go swimming. And so forth. Teresa?
Because they don't believe in the Trinity.
Because they don't believe in the Trinity.
Does that preclude them from being our brothers and sisters? Because they do believe in the atonement, but they don't believe in the Trinity.
They don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe God is three in one. They believe the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is power. But do they believe in the atonement of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, for forgiveness of sins and his resurrection from the dead? Do they believe in that?
Yes.
What does that make them? What does that make them? Our brothers and sisters. Do we get to fix them?
No.
Nope. We don't get to fix the Catholics either. Okay? It's not our job. And not everybody that's a oneness Pentecostal is a non-Trinitarian. Not everybody that is a Catholic is born again. Not everybody that sits in church on Sundays, even in a grace church, is saved or born again. Hello? We don't get to judge anybody's heart. Ever. It's not our job. We put ourselves, and I want you to hear this, we put ourselves in the position of God as judge and lawgiver. When we do that. All right, let's move on. Now we're on to the charismatics. I've been looking forward to getting here. A sect within the Christian umbrella. All right? The charismatic movement, the latest one, because there have been charismatic movements since the book of Acts, for over almost 2,000 years. Now, the latest one, at least in our country, came in Azusa Street, 1906. It was a revival with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and from them came different denominations like the Assemblies of God and others. And there were many great revivals that came from that during that time. But this is a part of, again, the charismatic movement, again, in basically our time. Charismatic believers believe the Bible is the inspired, infallible word of God. And again, I'm not doing an exhaustive, detailed rundown on all of these so that you understand. You want to know what it is? Go look them up. Search it out. No hearsay, right? Not even from me. Okay, good. I believe the water baptism by immersion, baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues, the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in individual lives and corporately, eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ and his atonement for sins, the reality of heaven and hell, eternal judgment, repentance from sin and dead works, the virgin birth, the resurrection of the dead, and all those other kingdom doctrines that you're established in now. Okay? Okay. Some of the churches in this, involved in this, or under this particular Branch would be the Assemblies of God. Foursquare, Word of Faith, Full Gospel. Grace, Community, Non-Denominational, and others. Okay? All right. Next one. Now, pay attention to this. I'm going to lump this all together. Hypergrace, universalism, and inclusionism. Anybody heard of any of those? Hypergrace, universalism, and inclusionism. They are this group of peoples have doctrines that are not, well, let's see how it lines up with what you know already. They are a break off of grace churches. They're a break off of churches like us. They celebrate grace and the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but discourage faith. Everybody is saved. There is no hell. All peoples are in Christ, and no unbeliever is under condemnation. Faith is not required for salvation. Unbelievers are neither godly nor sinners, but they are living under a false reality. Let me read that again. Unbelievers are neither godly or sinners, but are living under a false reality. Unbelievers are justified and righteous and have the Holy Spirit. Unbelievers are non-participating members of the body of Christ. Unbelievers have a new life and are reconciled to God. How's that heading? Are you seeing any conflict?
Yes. Yes.
Where? Where are you seeing it? Talk to me. Where are you seeing the conflict? Carol. We need to make a choice, life or death. Okay? What else? Say it again. No, it doesn't matter. It makes no difference. There's no hell. There's no judgment. Don't worry about it. There really isn't any reason for Jesus to have died. There's no purpose in the atonement at all. Jeremy.
It's comforting and takes all responsibility off of you.
Yeah, you live whatever way you want. You don't ever have to receive Jesus Christ. Paula.
It hurts people.
Pardon again? Pardon me?
I'm thinking how it hurts people.
Well, sure, it hurts people. Destroys their lives. What else? Pardon?
By grace I'm saved through faith.
By grace I'm saved through faith.
So without faith
in Him. That's right. Gotta have faith. Suzanne.
But there's no repentance involved in that. Why repent? Just live how you want to.
Why repent? Live how you want to live. Teresa.
They cancel Jesus.
Cancel Jesus. Anything else? Come on, you're getting the doctrines here. Right? I want you to hear these things because even in the secular world, you're going to hear things that are contrary. They're going to say, everything is okay. You can live however you want to live. What is that? That's from the world, right? How do you know that's wrong? It goes against the word. That's how you line everything up, all right? Hypergrace, universalism, and inclusionism. Bad stuff. Now, they call themselves grace churches. We were invited to join one of those groups, a network of churches, several years ago. Guess what? Guess who did their research? Thank God. Thank God. It's out there. Don't be surprised if you get solicited. When we came out of Bible school, we had a number of people through Bible school who went over to the Hypergrace Universalism Inclusionism group. What? How's that happen? Ignorance? You want something to be true? You want heresy? You don't really don't want the truth. You don't want to search it out. You don't want the truth. Tickles their ears. Makes them feel good. So on and so forth. Don't you be one. All right. Let's talk about the grace church aspect under Christianity. Gospel-based. Belief in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the gifts. Water baptism. Salvation through atonement and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Saved by grace, in parentheses, plus nothing. Through faith, in parentheses, plus nothing. And His grace motivates us to grow, gives room to make mistakes, while growing into maturity to look like Jesus. Growth and maturity is motivated by grace, not guilt and shame. The focus is on faith righteousness. People are accepted and loved as they are, and grace teaches how to live, going into maturity and godly lives from the inside out. Grace frees us to love and serve God and love and serve others. Grace teaches that our new identity has brought a depth of relationship with God and the pursuit of that relationship and the joyful desire to love and honor Him in our lives. Heaven and hell are realities. Eternal judgment is a reality. The promises of God are already given. Grace teaches us how to receive those promises. Grace changes our heart, our life, our circumstances, again, from the inside out, and makes us willing and desire to share this truth with the world. Under grace, the reality of sin happens. Grace teaches personal confession and restoration and a healing environment rather than condemnation, sin consciousness, and guilt. That's us. That's our church. Are we born again? You know, there are those who look at us as a cult. Don't be surprised. Who have you judged to be a cult that's a brother and sister? Okay, I've done it. So, we don't get to do that. People are going to do it to you and me and our church because of what we believe. Because we believe that God heals now and today, and we've seen it over and over. We believe God prospers now and today. We've seen it, breakthroughs, miraculous, powerful things. We've seen the gifts in operation, and we're going to see a lot more. We've seen many, many testimonies of all kinds of miraculous and supernatural. This is normal Christianity. This is the way it's supposed to be. But there are those who are what we'd call cessationist. They're under the Arminian umbrella, but they are cessationist. And grace is only for salvation, to make it, hanging on by your fingernails to eternal life, I mean heaven. And they would call us a cult. So, are we born again? Yeah. Are they? Yeah. We're going to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace with everybody we can. Amen? Amen. 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 It is important. Are you understanding why it's important to know what you believe? Yes. And why you believe it? Galatians, would you go with me, please, to Galatians chapter 1. I want to leave you with this. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. This is real, people. Today it's even more, which is not another. But if there are some who trouble you and want to pervert or twist the gospel of Christ, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Know where you stand and why you stand where you do. Know what you believe and why you believe it. And if you don't know, search it out. Ask questions. Learn how to dialogue with others, not debate, not argue. Somebody wants to pull you into an argument? Know what you believe and why you believe it. If they want to talk, it's great. If you can talk with somebody, it's great. Now, this goes in the political realm. It goes in the secular realm. This goes in, of course, everything to do with church. Everything, every way, every area of life. There are heresies and doctrines of demons out there that are awful. And they're destructive, and that's what they're meant for, is to destroy. God will open doors for you if you know why you stand where you stand, why you believe what you believe. God will open doors for you, and you'll be able to talk to people you never dreamed of. You won't be swayed. And the Holy Spirit will give you the answers when you need it. And you don't have to know everything. You don't have to be a scholar to do this. You don't have to have studied over years like I have. You don't have to do that. But you've got to know the basics of why you believe what you do. It's important, especially today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Got time for a couple quick questions. Anybody? Just you. Hang on, Matt. Just a minute. Jude, did you have one? Okay. Who had one? I thought I saw somebody over here. Anybody?
I was wondering about the Amish.
You're wondering about the Amish. What about them? Yes, Amish.
Well, are they our brothers and sisters?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, you weren't here last week, were you? Yes, they're our brothers and sisters. Amish are our brothers and sisters. Mennonites, Amish. Yes, absolutely.
Evangelicals.
Rain said?
They rent them.
Rented.
Like you rent a house.
Rented?
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Rented evangelicals.
Yes. So they probably belong to the...
I don't know.
Yeah.
Rented evangelicals. Search them out. I don't know. They are set to infiltrate the churches with doctrine. Don't be surprised. There are tares in the wheat. Jesus spoke about it, right? The devil's going to plant tares in the wheat. Do you know where you stand?
Yeah.
And what you believe and why you believe it? Do you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Matt, real quick, this is it. Matt, I'm going to send you back to the podcast back in last summer when I spoke all about that, all the division and all the other things going on and all the last days stuff. I put it on purposefully on the front of the podcast of the website so you could tune into that. That'll get you the information you need. Okay? All right. Praise God. Victoria, we are out of time. We are out of time. Sorry. What my heart was to prompt you, to stir you up, again, to get us off our bottoms and study these things out. You know, I wasn't always a pastor, and I studied these things. I want to know. And I'm going to tell you that I don't believe just because somebody says it to me. You hear me? Diana got it. Carol got it. Just because somebody says it to me, I say, okay. And I take it with a grain of salt. But you know what? I go back and search it out. I search it out. If I really want to know, I search it out. You know, the information that we have available to us is mind-boggling. Stand with me, will you? Praise God. Well, I hope you enjoyed the class. I'm probably not going to do this like this for a while. I hope you learned. I hope you gained. I mean, that was the whole part of doing a class. Keep doing your homework and keep studying, okay? Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, this time has been yours. It is yours. Our lives are yours. And we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. We're committed to you, Lord. I get the sense somebody needs healing. Who needs healing? Come on up here. You okay to put this on the podcast? Yeah? Do you need healing, Charles? Come on up. Ifoma, would you come on up? Would you like to go to work today? Welcome back, by the way, Ifoma. Matt? Okay. Do you want to take Charles? What is your name?
Ubi?
Yes, Ubi. Okay. Okay, Ubi. All right. Do you want to take Charles? Who else? Who else needs healing? Let's just get it done. Can we just get it done? We don't belabor this and don't labor over it a long time. Now, you all can be dismissed and get the kids if you want to, or you can stick in here for a couple minutes because we're going to pray for a couple of minutes. And Dave and Cindy Raines, are you back there? Can you come on up? Would you mind praying? Anybody else need healing? Going once? Going twice? Get on up here. Robert? Kim? Would you come on up? I want you to pray for somebody. Would you? Anybody else? Come here, Tina. Right here. Dave and Cindy? Somebody else was up here, and now they're gone. Tina? Dave and Cindy. They'll take right good care of you, okay? Robert and Kip? Somebody else in here needs healing right now. Who is it? Somebody else is supposed to be up here that is not here. Robert and Kim. There she is. Come on, Lori. Right here. Thank you. Lori, they'll take good care of you. Huh? This is Robert and Kim. Okay? Come on, Ubi. Let's do it. What's the matter? Your back? Your back hurts? How long has it been hurting?
More than 5 years.
5 years you've been putting up with this? Are you born again?
Yeah.
Are you baptized in the Holy Ghost? Do you speak in tongues? Okay, well, but you understand what I'm saying. Do you believe that Jesus has already healed you? He's already provided it. He's already done it. Right? So what have you done for your healing?
Two surgeries.
Okay. What scripture are you standing on?
I'm Catholic.
You're Catholic. Oh, praise God, sister. I am so glad to meet you. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, let me explain this. Okay. We know that Jesus Christ is already healed according to Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That means cured in the Greek. It means cured physically. It is full. It is complete. Jesus, Matthew 8:17, bore your sicknesses and took your pain. Jesus did it. When you received him, you exchanged your life and your physical body and all these things for his. You got his. And Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the Spirit, according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You know this. And you're under the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ, and freed from the law of sin and death. Every time sickness and pain and all these things come, they are really... We live in a fallen world. They come right out of the pit of hell because the devil perverted everything from the beginning, and it affected health and everything else in our lives, okay? So, when your back got hurt, was it in an accident? Just hurt? Is it in the hip or in the back? In the hip. Does it go? Do you have numbness? And you have pain all the time? All right. Let's just get it dealt with, can we? Turn aside just a bit. Put your hand on the area where it is. All right? I'm going to put my hand on yours. I want you to close your eyes. Rest your hand. Just relax. Take a deep breath. Just take a deep breath. There you go. Good. Now, I'm going to pray. I don't want you to pray. I want you just to agree with me in your heart. Just agree, okay? Keep your eyes closed and expect to receive. God wants to do a miracle for you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kisala ho kara sala la kidia sata kora masala halake. Imi kidia sata kora koma sala elebilia la kora masatia sa. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, I see you working right now. Wow. In the name of Jesus, the name above every name, pain, I command you, go. Now. There it goes. There it goes. Numbness, in Jesus' name, get out. I command feeling and sensation come back into the nerves. Nerves, I command you to be restored, recreated in Jesus' name. Now. And hip, you've been misaligned for way too long. Whatever the surgeries did, whatever happened, whatever was brought out of line, in Jesus' name, here we go. I command you to move. Move. And go into place. In Jesus' name. You got movement happening. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Inflammation, you're gone. You're seeping right out of her body right now. All the swelling, gone. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. What do you feel? Tell me how you feel. You feel your leg? You can feel it? I mean, you couldn't feel it before. Okay. Do you feel less pain? Get up. want you to walk, because you're healed by Jesus' stripes. You got it right now. Walk over there and walk back. We expect this. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep going. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Turn around and go back to the wall there. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. How you doing? Getting better, isn't it? Keep going. Keep going. All the way over. Turn around and all the way back. Hallelujah. 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 Let's go. Come on. We're going to do it together, sister. Come on. In Jesus' name, fear, you're bound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Halamakora kasatia. Hemekitia satakora komasa. Hele hele hekidiasa. Hemekiata satakora kasa. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We have the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This hip is healed fully and completely restored. It's brand new. You got a new hip. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Glory. How we doing? You're getting better and better. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 Glory, 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 glory! You ready to run? When's the last time you ran? Well, you're overdue, honey. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.